Welcome to All Talk No Bock. It is episode 13, lucky number 13, and we are excited to be here. But we're recording on a Saturday, so it's Saturday the 13th. So we're all good. Everybody can sleep easy. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And welcome back. I mean, you guys are my host at this point, Tori and Andrew. We love you. Welcome. So there isn't much news this week, other than the clinching of postseason spots, and positions are still sort of TBD because there's still two more games left for a lot of teams are very close. So we're just going to go right in. The theme of this episode is sort of postseason prep and regular season in review. More of that, because we did that a little bit last week. So we're going to go right in. We have chosen as a collective our superlatives, our best ofs of the 2020 regular season. And we are excited to share. So I'll be doing comeback player of the year. And then Reese will be doing managers of the year. Tori will be doing rookie of the year. Charles will be doing Cy Young award winners. And then Andrew gets the ultimate prize and probably our most contested in the NL with MVP. So let us get going. Comeback player of the year. Woo! Who was much better? So, the obvious in the NL, we chose Yu Darvish. Why do we choose Yu Darvish? Because Yu Darvish this year is 8-3, thusly, with a 2.01 ERA and a 0.96 with hitters in scoring position and 93 strikeouts. And last year, he was much, much worse. Yu Darvish, who, by the way, had the yips, everybody thought, since his time with the Dodgers, and he did so poorly in the World Series and all that. So he's recovering from that. And last year he went 6-8 with a 3.98 ERA. So he's been much better this year, and he might even possibly win the Cy Young in the National League. That's why we chose Yu Darvish. And then in the American League, we went with a relief pitcher because it was so hard to choose one. And we chose Brad Hand for Cleveland. And so basically his ERA was lowered more than a full point, 2.18 this year, 3.30 last year. And they're not playing as many games, so it's very hard to choose in general with all these awards, but so we chose him because he's also leading MLB in, I think he's leading MLB in game saved, if I'm not mistaken. We will fact check that. I think I'm right. So those are the comeback players of the year, the bullpen comeback players of the year. Reese, who do we got for managers?
Okay, so I know I said I would not do this, but I am going with Jace. So Jace Tingler with San Diego Padres. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized he was deserving of this accolade, because you have this guy who has very little managerial experience. We get rid of Green last year. The Padres are expecting this really big name guy to come in and change things around. And then AJ Preller comes out and is like, okay, what's up? Like, I hired Jace Tingler. And look what he did. You know, we had a losing record for the past 9 years, and then he comes back. We clinch ourselves a playoff spot. And so I think he's absolutely deserving of some recognition here. Like, he really turned this team around. He's a manager for the players. Like, I think that he connects really well with the team. I think he has guided them amazingly. And so obviously he had a little slip up with the whole 3-1 incident, which we talked about in a previous episode, but I mean, nobody's perfect. He's my guy for the National League. Guys, for the American League, going with the White Sox manager, Rick Renteria, also a players manager. He went 201 and 284 his first two seasons with the White Sox. But, you know, the White Sox have had a really feel-good story this season. As of late, they haven't been doing so hot. I mean, they lost the past couple games. They got swept by Cleveland, blown out by the Cubs. We don't talk about that. Overall, really happy with Rick's performance this season. So he's my guy for the American League.
Very convincing arguments. Tori?
Yeah, so kind of as everyone was saying, in the shortened season, it's kind of hard because there aren't as many games to go off of. But our pick for the AL Rookie of the Year was Luis Robert from the White Sox, outfielder. And he started off so strong in July and August. He was batting .298 with 10 home runs, 4 steals in his first 133 plate appearances. And then September hit and didn't hit him. He went down. But because it is season and he was so far ahead, he basically ended up like in the same level playing ground as the other rookies. So honorable mention to Kyle Lewis from the Mariners. He's batting .271 currently with 11 home runs, so matching the same home runs now that Robert has, and 28 RBIs. So he still actually has less RBIs than Robert does, even though Robert literally went 6 for 70 in September. So It's been rough. It's been an uphill battle, but I'm kind of looking forward to see how he does in the postseason, because maybe September's going to be over super soon. He just needs to start seeing the ball better, get back up, keep swinging. Honestly, maybe stop swinging because he's kind of swinging at everything, but he'll improve. I have hope in him, and he's still our AL Rookie of the Year pick. On the NL side, we have Dustin May from the Dodgers, 23-year-old, hard throw-in, right-hand pitcher. He's 2-1 this year with a .277 ERA and 39 strikeouts in about 52 innings. And he has just been, he's been great for the Dodgers, I think, as a rookie especially. And just seeing him striking out like Manny Machado, sorry, Machado, Tatis Jr. We saw Tatis Jr. literally like whiff through him and go to his knee. So definitely bringing the heat, and will be an exciting player and probably part of the relief rotation, I would assume, as Roberts is thinking going into the postseason. So those are our rookie picks.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we don't vote, because our arguments are lukewarm in terms of convincing. Charles, give us something with Cy Young.
Cy Young is hot. You know, we got two very intriguing guys that we picked in a shortened season. They still showed us their stuff. Our first guy coming in from the AL, he's on my fantasy team. Shane Bieber tore it up this season. Only had one loss, the highest winning percentage of anyone in the league at 89%. He went 8-1, which is unbelievable. The most wins as well with 8. He had the most strikeouts in the AL with 122. And to cap it all off, he had the best ERA in the entire league at 1.63. The next guy, I believe, is in the NL, so we won't even worry about him. That's DeGrom's problem, which is our other pick for Cy Young in the NL side, also on my fantasy team. So both of those guys carried me to the playoffs this year. As you could probably tell, with DeGrom having the most strikeouts as well, he put up 94 in the NL, not as much as Bieber, but it's still pretty high. You know, 94 strikeouts, that's still something to be impressed with, and he had a high WAR. He was tied for first with 2.7. And I think the league knows how bad the Mets are, and the fact that DeGrom is still killing it, he has no help on defense. So it's a very tight race in the NL. It's a lot tighter than the AL with Bauer. And we mentioned all the accolades with Darvish. So DeGrom, he might win off of just purely based off of his brand in this tight race. A lot of these guys are so close, and they might just give it to the guy who's won a couple of times before. So we got DeGrom, and it's going to be a tight race in the NL. I'm excited to see how we're all excited to see how it pans out. So now Andrew is going to give us the big ticket item, the MVP of this 2020. Yeah. Both. What do we got?
Yeah, I've got the big trophy here. Well, the semi-big trophy. So for the AL, we're looking at, again, like Charles said, we're looking at Shane Bieber, because he pretty much carried the Indians. Like with his pitching, he was dominant. Charles already went through his stats. He was 8-1, got a 1.63 ERA and 122 strikeouts. He's also second in all of MLB in WAR at 3.2. So without him, like the Indians are significantly a worse team. So he's definitely made his impact. He's made his impact felt, and so I think he's a shoo-in for MVP. Tim Anderson was also in the running. He made a good case for himself, but I think Shane Bieber kind of like sneaked that one out at the last minute. And then for for the NL, we're looking at brand new to the NL, Mookie Betts for the Dodgers. He's made his impact felt already. As soon as he made it to LA, he is the MLB leader in WAR, right above Shane Bieber at 3.3. So without him, those few games that he was gone with a little hand injury early in the season, it was felt like in the lineup, his absence was felt in the lineup. He's tied with Tatis with 16 home runs in the NL for the lead. And, you know, average isn't there, but batting average as a stat has kind of like gone by the wayside. OPS is kind of what people look at, and he's at 925. So he's obviously a solid player, and we think that he's gonna pick up his first NL MVP and have an MVP ready in both leagues.
Yes, and shout out to Machado, to Manny Machado, and also to Freddie Freeman, in particular Freddie Freeman, because wow, I mean, whoever guessed that his WAR would be so incredibly high, as would his batting average, and he had COVID.
Yeah.
So good for him.
It's a tight race all
about. Great. Yes. The NL, I mean, we chose a lot of pitchers in general, which is funny, but plenty of hitters have impressed as well in this short season, and especially in the NL, it was tough for us to choose all these categories. So congratulations to our winners. We don't have any prize to give you, but if you listen to this podcast, you could feel happy.
We have our love.
So we, yes. Yes. What?
That's enough.
Yes. Charles, go ahead.
I will say that, you know, with the shortened season, it would have been a lot interesting to see how some of these guys finished out. And if this race would have been different, had it been extended, you know, DeGrom, he's normally a guy who finishes strong, and, you know, pitchers normally get 30 starts, and these guys are getting, you know, Bieber around 10, and DeGrom just pitched his 11th. So it's pretty crazy that these guys are getting cut short and we still have to pick a winner here. So very unique, and I'm glad I'm not on the committee to choose these guys, because they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, that's another reason why we had problems, because on the pitching side, they don't pitch many games, especially like the relievers. And then on the hitting side, the sort of batting averages are either so high, like unusually high, and then, or they're low, and then it's hard to get back up to normal. So the law of averages doesn't exist in a season like this. So anyway, hard stuff, but that's what we chose. And we will be right back for another edition of Your Take, Our Take. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to All Talk No Buck. You already know what segment we're getting into. It's Your Take, Our Take. It's our 13th episode. If you don't know it by now, I don't know what you've been listening to or what you heard, because it's Your Take, Our Take time. We're talking the best playoff memories that we got. It's playoff time. It's playoffs. We got to get into it. It's an exciting time, and it's a time to reminisce about everything that we've gone through with our teams in the past and what we hope for in the future later on. But right now we're sticking to our memories. And why don't we start off with Tori? What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Charles. I have for you guys, it's not just one moment, but the even year trifecta of the Giants, 2010, 2014, and
2012. Not a memory!
Fine, whatever. 2010, 2012, 2014. I don't know why I skipped a year right now in my head. But I'll go through really quickly through each one, just a little sprinkling, so everyone can just remember the joy of those 3 years. Oh, so 2010 was obviously Tim Lincecum. He was known as the Freak, and he was just superb in all of those games, helping them come from behind wins, and just no one was expecting them to win, even though he had already won his 2 years of Cy Young. But Giants, no one was expecting it. 2010. Then we go into 2012. So they were kind of on the radar, but people still were kind of thinking that they got lucky, that kind of thing. And then my favorite moment was Pablo Sandoval hitting 3 home runs off of the Tigers ace, Justin Verlander. I mean, we all have to tip our hat to that. Only 3 other players have ever done that. And that's, so he's among a list of Babe Ruth, who's done it twice, Reggie Jackson and Albert Pujols. Shout out Charles. And yeah, that was just incredible. And then in 2014, we saw Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner in game 7, he had 2 days rest and came out with 5 shutout innings. And yeah, so the Giants 3-year trifecta is my favorite postseason memory. And I'm still hoping that they'll be able to make it. It was heartbreaking. I'm still kind of recovering from last night's loss to the Padres in the second game, but it's okay. We'll be back. We'll be back out there again today. So,
yeah, well, Padres walk off in San Francisco. That was a weird game.
It hurt. It really hurt.
Okay. Anybody else have a better one? That was horrible. That was torture to listen to. Reese, go ahead.
Okay, mine is sentimental. So, my great, you want to look a little more excited?
No.
So, my great grandma back in 2015. So, her favorite baseball team was the Cubs, and then she passed away at the end of 2015. And then in 2016, the Cubs won the World Series for the first time in like 108 years, I think it was. And so, yeah, it was just really special to see that. So, yeah. That was my favorite.
Oh, I always, can I just say something about that? You know, I always ask my mom, I'm like, A, are the Dodgers going to be the Cubs 2.0? And B, how many people that were Cubs fans, let's say in like 1952, okay? So they didn't live for the first one and they didn't live for the second one. So they just had to go their whole lives, and I mean like into old age, and then die, and then never see the Cubs win a World Series. And yeah, that just makes me sad. That, because I, that's the fate that we are looking upon right now as Dodger fans. So that was very sweet. And Tori, your memory was not bad. I didn't mean it was bad. It's hard for me to listen to because one of those years they were the wild card and beat the Dodgers. And I think it was 2014 in order to.
Yeah.
It's okay, I understand.
Oh. Yeah, as far as like the Giants, like 3 World Series, Tim Lincecum at the time was one of my favorite pitchers, despite him being a Giant. So like I definitely looked up to him. 2012 was the most boring one because they swept the Tigers, and it's not the World Series you want to watch. And 2014, yeah, Mad Bum just kind of like went off, and that was good.
Yeah.
What's yours, Andrew? What do you got for us?
I'm looking at 2011 here, and 2011 up until 2017. Before I knew about all the cheating scandals, 2011 is what I would rank as the best postseason I had ever watched in baseball. And game 6 of the World Series, David Freese tying it up, it down to the last strike against the Rangers for the Cards. Triples off the right field wall over Nelson Cruz, ties up the game, and then hits the walk-off in game 6. And then you get the call by Joe Buck saying, "We will see you tomorrow night." That was like top-tier like postseason baseball for me. Obviously, there's been plenty of Dodgers stuff since then, but that memory is always stuck in my mind. I remember watching it like in this room on the TV, so definitely a great memory for me.
I'm going to continue on with that, Andrew, because that was mine as well.
Oh, okay.
Game 6, yes, because it was against the Rangers, and I just did not want to see them win. You know, they're in our division. And they just spanked us all year that year. I remember the 2011 season very well because that was like one of the first times in a while that the Angels were on the downturn, starting to do bad. So, you know, like you said, if the definition of clutch, you know, he basically hit 2 game-winning hits in that game. So he kept him in there the whole time. Texas was up 7-5. He had 2 strikes on him as well. And he comes up in the bottom of the ninth with 2 out. It was like a Babe Ruth situation. And he just came up so clutch with 2 on and hit that triple over, you know, Nelson Cruz's head. And it was just, it was amazing. It was a great game. And I thought, you know, his home run as well, it felt like one of those nights where magic was in the air kind of thing. And, you know, David Freese is now Mr. Clutch in that series. And maybe for a lot of other people, he has just embodied that title for himself. And of course, I have to give honorable mention to 2002. Don't really remember that much. I was only 4 years old, but sort of remember my dad waking me up for David Erdstad's final catch to seal the World Series for the Angels over the Giants. Great to see him beat Barry Bonds as well. It was awesome, as you know, just looking back on highlights of that series. So it's a great win for them. And Heather, what do you got for us as your best postseason memory?
I'm going to go with the Max Muncy. First of all, let me just describe that game to everybody. I think that game went 8 hours. I had a full day of school. I was a senior at UCSB at the time. So I had a full day of school. Game started while I was in school. And then I had basically like a full evening of homework. Game was still on. And I think the game ended West Coast time 12:30, maybe, in the morning. And I just remember, like, so what happened in that game was really interesting because Boston takes the lead, actually, at some point in extras. And then Puig ties it up. And then, like, a million innings later, I think it was the 18th, it just keeps going. Like, nobody's getting a hit. The relievers, but Max Muncy hit the solo home run against him. And everybody in my house was asleep in my room in Santa Barbara. And I was, like, silent cheering because I called my mom and we were silent cheering with each other. So anyway, that was really fun. I also had mentioned earlier the Corey Seager game 2 of the 2017 World Series home run that we thought they were going to win that game because then they went up 3-1 and I was there for that game. So that was really cool to see and everybody was like going wild and high-fiving and slapping each other. Things that in COVID would not be acceptable. But this was 2017. So anyway, that is mine, the Max Muncy walk-off home run in what was just a game, and then they could have won the next one, but they lost it, and then they lost the series by the same score that they lost the series to the Astros, 5-1. I'll never forget. Curse those days.
Love all the memories. Bringing us back. Good to reminisce and feel good about these memories again. It's
two Cardinals ones. We don't talk about the Cardinals a lot, but that's a good one, guys. David Freese. We miss him on the Dodgers too. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and be back for the wrap up. That's it for this episode of All Talk No Balk, episode 13. It was a quickie. We thank Tori and Andrew for coming back, as they always do every single week. We love them. And thank you to Charles and Reese for being great co-hosts. So this is the exciting announcement we have this week. Merchandise. If you participate in our giveaway for the postseason, we are doing a bracket. We are making a bracket, postseason bracket. And if you fill it out via the bullpen, it'll be on our social media, both. If you fill them out and you're the closest to right, then your prize is bullpen merch. All Talk No Balk t-shirt coming your way. You will email us for the size of t-shirt you want and the color you want and the style of t-shirt you want and all that, but you have to enter in the bracket to win. And we have plenty of interest so far. So you are going to be up against stiff competition. But do it, because who knows? With this season, with this style of playoff, I think the Giants might win the World Series on another even year, thus making Tori the happiest girl in the whole wide world and all of us miserable. Who knows? Anything can happen. So fill out your brackets and then get your merch. But also we have merch on Redbubble anyway. You could go get your merch at any time. And go follow us on social media and the website articles, go check those out. They're great. The website's getting we're revamping it in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. And that's it.
Stay tuned for next week as well for for our walk-up songs. That's going to be for your take, our take. We're going to do what our walk-up song would be if we were a pitcher or a hitter in the major leagues. So that should be fun. I was a pitcher. I had one back in high school. So we'll see if it makes a reappearance here on the podcast.
Was it like Drake? What was big back in high school? Was it like
You'll have to wait and find out next week. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I laugh at what, because we have a lot of baseball and softball players in this mix. So they all had walk-up songs at some point. I was not, Reese was not, but everybody else here was. So that'll be fun. And I have a great one, and I think I'm going to win. Not to make it about me again. Sorry, I was obnoxious this episode. So come back next week for less of me and more of everybody else. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see everybody again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.